I do appellate work, but frankly, I only do appellate work when I've been involved in the case. I applaud those attorneys that can take someone else's case, read the transcript, and do the appeal, because it's a very special talent. If you've been involved in the case, either then filing the appeal or filing a response, at least you're very familiar with the case, and makes it easier. Well, I think that is, I'm going to go to the news, and we'll come back with the sports guys, and if it's Friday at 4, it's the law, and of course the sports guys will start right after the news, and hopefully I'll have a couple sports guys joining me for the sports guys. So, hope you tune in next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We have nothing to be apologetic about as a country. We have reduced our CO2 footprint to levels of the early 1990s.
Scott Pruitt, the head of the EPA, speaking to reporters about President Trump pulling America out of the Paris climate deal. He said pulling out of the Paris deal does not mean the Trump administration isn't going to fight climate change.
Exiting Paris does not mean disengagement. In fact, the president said yesterday that Paris represents a bad deal for this country. It doesn't mean that we're not going to continue the discussion.
Two bills involving police, families, and veterans now on the books. President Trump signed the measures in a brief White House ceremony. One of the bills aims to speed up federal death benefits for families of law enforcement officials killed in the line of duty. The other measure boosts incentives for law enforcement agencies to hire veterans. And get them before the day's out. It's National Donut Day, and many donut shops are giving away freebies. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Make it a point to shop Kohl's this weekend and take an extra 20% off your purchase. Plus, Yes to You Rewards members earn triple points. Not a Kohl's Yes to You Rewards member? Enroll today and start earning. Now through Sunday, members get a $5 reward for every $35 spent. Earn three times faster. More points, bigger reward. Visit Kohl's.com/rewards to sign up. Kohl's. Offer valid June 1st through 4th. Some exclusions apply. For program details, terms, or to enroll, visit Kohl's.com/rewards.
Napa know-how.
When you buy AC Pro refrigerant at Napa for $33.99, it comes with a pressure gauge, quick connect hose, and refrigerant to make just about any car cool again. Old cars, new cars, brown cars, even cars with hand crank windows. If it has four wheels and an air conditioner, AC Pro refrigerant for $33.99 can make your car cool. Literally. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 6/30/17.
The government out with their latest jobs report. Correspondent Chris Barnes tells you what's in it.
The private firm ADP had said over 253,000 jobs were created in May, but then when the government released its jobs report for the month, it shows only 138,000 non-farm jobs added, about 50,000 fewer than analysts had forecast. The nation's unemployment rate fell, though, another tenth of a percent to 4.3%, which is the lowest jobless rate the nation has seen in 16 years. I'm Chris Barnes.
Large swarms of mosquitoes causing big problems at New York's LaGuardia Airport. Workers say they're flying around stores, bathrooms, the food court, and buzzing on the ceilings. Mosquitoes have always been a problem at LaGuardia, but employees think the airport's $4 billion renovation project is just making things worse. Philippine officials say 34 bodies have been found in the Resorts World Manila after yesterday's robbery and fire. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
A video that a young man posted online about being bullied at his new school is going viral. Here's Jason Campidonia.
Quaylen Bryan is only 11 years old and a new student at Joan McQueen Middle School in Alpine. He posted a video about some of the hardships about being the new kid.
All my grades are good. Teachers are nice. It's one thing that I was missing. Friendship.
Bryan says the kids at his school don't like him because of his skin color.
The kids at my school, they're bullying me. They're always being racist. Call me Burnt Marshmallow. And threatening me.
His personal message was posted to the Facebook and Instagram pages that belong to Brian's father, and the video has been viewed tens of thousands of times. Brian's family is hoping for change.
Just a problem, man. I have to respect everybody who goes to Alpine.
I'm Jason Campidonia.
A convicted terrorist that some wanted to celebrate in the New York Puerto Rico Day Parade, now saying they won't let him celebrate him. Here's more on that story.
The convicted felon in an op-ed says he'll be at the June 11th parade as a humble Puerto Rican and grandfather, not as an honoree. The Puerto Rican Day Parade Board wanted to honor Oscar Lopez Rivera, who just got out of prison, but it set off a firestorm of controversy. Many parade sponsors pulled out, and politicians like Governor Cuomo deciding not to march. Rivera is considered a leader of the FALN, a group that claimed responsibility for bombings in the 70s and 80s. Two of them were in New York City. Scott Pringle, New York.
And former Penn State University President Graham Spanier spending 2 months in prison and 2 months under house arrest for his role in the Jerry Sandusky scandal. USA Radio News.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon. We'll be starting the sports guys in a few minutes after I tell you about the weather. Bill Wolfson would say get up off that couch tomorrow. It's going to be a beautiful day. Still beautiful now. I'm looking out the windows here at the new Chamber radio station, which is right on Main Street in the new old building that looks terrible from the outside, but it's been beautifully renovated inside. And I'm Pat Smits, one of your sports guys, and I guess I'm the weather girl. This afternoon, and we do have a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m., but so far, although there's been some clouds, really been nice, high up near 78 degrees possibly. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 50 degrees, so it's still, going to be fairly warm tonight, but good sleeping weather. And mostly sunny tomorrow, high near 75 degrees. And, of course, tomorrow I hope everybody knows about Community Day. They've been working very hard on Community Day, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But just wanted to let you know, if you're planning your outdoor picnic on Sunday, not so great. Chance of showers, about 30%, and then and thunderstorms, actually. And then showers are likely, and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. So high about 76 degrees, calm winds, and but the chance of precipitation is about 60% later in the day and into the evening, about a 60% chance of showers on Sunday night. And into Monday and Monday night and, in fact, Tuesday. So it could be another washout on the, early next week. So what's happening in the sports? Well, we'll get to that in a minute, but I wanted to let you know about you know, Community Day. It's the fourth annual Hunterdon County Community Day tomorrow, and it's going to be from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at what is now called South County Park, the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds, located on Route 173 in Ringo's, right off of 202. There's no admission to the event, and it is going to take place rain or shine, but luckily our prediction is tomorrow it's going to be sunny. And let me talk about, sports people should be out in numbers just because it's going to be fun. And there's local businesses and nonprofit organizations, and we're going to celebrate everything Hunterdon. So some of the key attractions for the Hunterdon Community Day, well, for me, it's the shredding event. I believe it's going to take place from about 11 until 3 in the afternoon. And so for anyone who has papers that they need to get rid of, it's a way to bundle up, or not bundle up, just take a bag or boxes of your papers that need to be shredded, and they will be shredded, and you can safely know that your identity will not be stolen, your private information will not be seen by other people. I once had an office in Morristown, and I was amazed. You'd go out in the parking lot, and there would be even legal documents from some of the law offices that would just be throwing them in the trash, and they'd get blown around. And we have to be very careful today. As we know, identity theft is a huge problem. And, in fact, talked at the last in the last hour, my program on the law, about the settlement that Target made in connection with the all of the personal information and credit card information back in 2013 when they had, hundred million people that were hacked. So in any event, what else is happening tomorrow? Well, back by popular demand, the Reptile World will be holding three live reptile shows, reptile shows in the afternoon. As I said, Hunterdon County Clerk, actually Mary Melfi, is hosting the community shred event. And so that is Mary Melfi is our clerk, and if you don't know Mary, you really should. She's a, I don't want to say great gal. She is a great gal. But she's. We are so pleased in Hunterdon County that we have such an excellent county clerk. And so if you have items to shred, you'll be directed to the designated drop-off area and then directed to parking. Also, it's going to have there's going to be some face painting as well as a fun obstacle course, and that's going to be in partnership with Healthy Hunterdon Workforce Initiative, and that is an important initiative here. Many of the local companies, their employees are participating in that. There's going to be a petting zoo, pony rides, children's games, bouncy rides. There'll be fire and rescue squad vehicles and demonstrations by local businesses and organizations, and also tethered rides on the Unity Bank balloon. And if you've never been up on a balloon, since this is tethered, it's not going to be high. You won't be flying over my house. I live near Round Valley Reservoir, and it's beautiful to see all the balloons flying. But this will be tethered, and so it's kind of a mini experience. Obviously, there's going to be food for purchase I guess Magdalena's is going to be there, Rita's Water and Ice, and Popcorn Nation. Ooh, I'll have to go for that, and more. And so that there are, I think I should point out the sponsors, and I think we want to thank our sponsors. And Hunterdon Healthcare, Unity Bank, Jersey Mike Subs, Hunterdon County Cultural Heritage, Hunterdon Healthcare, Full Circle of Care, and of course the Chamber of Commerce and the Jersey Mikes. If you don't know, they're subs, and they, you know, they're our local sub shop, and so it just, you know, we have some great sponsors, and we have some great people who are members of the Chamber. And whether or not you're a member of the Chamber, great time to go out. Good thing for the kids, and just good thing generally to go out. And if nothing else, you know, shred everything and then start saving for next year. So I have not heard from my compadres as far as sports, but let's get started. I'm going to just bring a couple sponsors. So if they get in, we'll get rid of some of our sponsors, not get rid of them, but play our spots, and then they'll be coming in. And in fact, one of them has just arrived. So let me play a couple spots.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Well, we're here, and the sports guys starting a little late, but Bill Wolfson has joined me.
Good afternoon, Pat. It's great to be here.
Have you been watching basketball, Bill?
No, Pat. As I told you, if you want to see a brick and be a basketball, I'm not a basketball fan unless my Temple Owls are playing.
Well, I have to tell you, watching the Cavaliers play the Celtics, I really thought the Cavaliers would do a much better job, but last night against the Golden State Warriors, I think the final score was 89-110. You know, I might have fallen asleep right before the end, but it was unbelievable. I mean, LeBron James, you know, was just, you know, couldn't do it. And you know, I think I understand why people were saying the Golden State Warriors might take the whole thing and, you know, very easily, because they were phenomenal. I mean, both teams were good, but obviously the high scoring there wasn't as much defense as you might have expected. But there's no way to defend some of these players. And if they're open at all, you know, they easily get three-point shots. Once again, I'm surprised that they don't always make free throws. But it was an interesting game, even though it was so one-sided. I mean, in some ways it was so one-sided. But in another way, it was just fun to watch them. I mean, they are so unbelievable.
Well, you know, the excitement of basketball is the athleticism of some of the players and the skill. And I think somebody who, even myself, I'm not a basketball fan, but I enjoy watching the game and its intricacies. The thing that always frustrates me about basketball, though, is it's always start and stop and start and stop. You never really get into the flow of the game. And, you know, what I always hope for with basketball is that the action will go on for 2 or 3 minutes without a stop because, frankly, that drives me nuts. And, you know, one of the things about hockey is, sure, there are a lot of stops and starts to the game, but there seems to be more of a flow to it. And even with soccer, they don't start and stop all that much either.
But I don't think football stops a lot. But I don't think basketball.
Yeah, but that's different.
Yeah, but I don't get the
football
sense.
Football's different.
But I don't get the sense that. I mean, basketball is really, you know, you have to watch every minute. I mean,
right.
Sometimes even during football games, you know, you know, there's enough downtime that you might read something a little bit, or you know. Run and get a snack or
yeah.
something.
Well, I will tell you, I find football absolutely riveting.
Oh, I agree. I mean,
whereas, you know, even when, you know, the ball is not in play, or even when they're in a huddle, because I get so absorbed in a football game that I try to figure out, you know, what the offense is going to do, how the defense is going to react to it. And I try to really anticipate the play. And I notice that in football, if you watch the guards and the tackles and how they're lining up and what they look around for right after they break the huddle, you get a pretty good feel for what's going to happen.
See, now I love the plays where there's no huddle. I will love it. And watching, when I'm watching the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, just no huddle. And, you know,
I knew you'd work the Packers and
well, there. No, and I'm sure that the other teams do the same thing. But what's fun is to watch the defense. I mean, that really throws them. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers is probably the best in catching too many players on the field. I mean, they really have to watch that. You know, if he doesn't do that once a game, it's almost surprising.
Well, I think a no-huddle offense is fun. But, you know, we have a pretty good Stanley Cup playoff going on, too. The Pittsburgh Penguins lucked out in Game 1 against the Nashville Predators. And talk about start and stops. The Predators enter the Pittsburgh zone in the second period, and the game is nothing-nothing. And there's question of whether one of the Penn players had both feet in the one of the Nashville Predators players, excuse me, had both feet inside the Pittsburgh zone before he got the puck, or whether he was straddling the blue line, or whether his feet were both on the blue line, or the blades of his skates were both on the blue line. But he gets a pass, brings it into the zone right in front of one of the linesmen. The puck goes down behind the goal and comes out to P.K. Subban, who's one of my favorite hockey players.
Oh, we know that.
76 for the Nashville Predators, formerly Montreal Canadiens. And he pops it in for a goal right over the shoulder of Marc-Andre Fleury. And they start to play again. And all of a sudden, they stop. The Pittsburgh coach wanted a video replay because he thought Nashville had been offside.
Can they do that?
Yeah.
How long had they played? Do they have to do it immediately? Because I'm not sure I've ever seen that.
They had brought the puck to center ice. they were about to drop the puck when the coach signaled that he was protesting the failure to call an offside.
So how soon?
But the play went on for 30 seconds.
Before
the goal, and then they.
Well, that was my question. What was the time span between the time that we thought he was on the blue line and the goal?
Okay, well, at least 30 seconds went by from a time the Nashville player was standing on the blue line until the time the goal was scored.
What's the rule?
And Pittsburgh had never regained possession and control of the puck while the puck was in the zone. Because remember, such a thing as a delayed offside in hockey. The offensive player comes into the zone, then the puck comes in. He loses control of the puck. The defensive team gets the puck back and begins to come back up ice. They lose control of the puck before they have crossed their own blue line, and the offensive team gets the puck back again, which may have happened. And that was part of what made this such a dispute. Subban gets the puck and pops it in the net. So what happens is that just before the face-off, there's a demand for a replay by the Pittsburgh coach. And, you know, the replay showed that the Nashville player had actually been offside. So, you know, we have funny rules in hockey, like delayed offsides. And I had thought this was a delayed offside. And because control had changed, I thought control of the puck had changed before it got to Subban. And as much as I want to see Nashville make it a seven-game series so that my hockey viewing pleasure is extended, I'm very greedy, unfortunately.
So then what happens?
The
they allowed it?
Back. The goal was called back. The goal was nullified. You know, the signal when the referee waves his, crosses his arms below his waist and waves off the goal, no goal. Pittsburgh got a lot of momentum from that and went on to win the game. That was game one in Pittsburgh. Game two, I think, is tonight.
Well, let me ask you, though. There's no such thing in hockey as latches. I mean, how is it that that they allowed that much time to go on? And, you know, what happens? Could they have dropped the puck and then even called it after that? I mean, it just seems to me to be a long time before they, you know, before they would allow a call. I mean, usually a call has to be made. For example, in football, you got to throw that flag down.
Fast. In hockey, it's if a goal is scored, you have until the puck is dropped.
To
protest it. For the call. And if
yeah, but I understand that if they don't think that it was a goal, but here you what you're saying is they thought that the player was offsides maybe 30 seconds before that. I mean,
that's right.
How long could that have gone on?
Well, here's the answer. Apparently the linesman missed seeing this guy offside.
Well, I understand that, and nobody saw him. But if the coach thought he was offside, why didn't he have to immediately protest?
I would have thought so. Now, here's the problem. I think what happened is the Pittsburgh coach missed seeing this Nashville Predators being offside. And I think what happened when he saw the replay of the goal, which they show almost immediately after,
right.
You know, the whole arena, including the players, are looking up at it if you ever were present at the game, and realized that when the puck was touched by the Nashville defenseman who would rush the puck up, actually it was a forward, and it was Subban who rushed in, when he touched the puck, he was offside. He was already
in the zone. But would that be shown? Would that actually be shown?
There should have been a whistle right there. Oh, yeah, it probably would be, because remember, what the NHL tries to do and the American Hockey League and the East Coast Hockey League have all agreed that, all agreed for the benefit of their fans, what they're going to do is they're going to show not just the goal, but they're going to show
what's leading up to the goal.
Develops before the goal, because part of it is you want to know who's entitled to get the credit for the assists. They always give out at least one or two.
So you think at that time, were you watching?
I was watching that game.
Did you see that replay? Did you think that it was shown, you know, that he was offsides? Was that shown on the replay?
In the replay, they zoomed in on the guy's feet and the blades of his skates. And one skate was definitely in the defensive zone, and the other skate, I think, was in the paint of the blue line.
So, in other words, probably the cameraman must have seen it when it went on. Because
exactly.
Why else would they have looked at his feet? I mean, you wouldn't ordinarily think that they'd...
Well, remember...
Going back 30 seconds to look at...
Remember, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. They probably have 20 or 30 different cameras on different portions of the ice at different times. And remember, all of us who used to make fun when we were back in the Middle Ages in high school, the audiovisual kids, the guys and gals who might have been a little nerdy, well, now they're the techies, and they're the zillionaires ruling the world.
So, well, let me ask you.
So we have all these, we have all this excellent photography or videography of the average sporting event, and what's going on here is the camera misses very little.
Well, I agree, but now let's assume he had been offsides and no goal was scored. Would that have been of any significance?
Then yeah,
what
no,
would
the
have
goal
happened?
Is nullified.
No, no, no goal. I mean, he's offsides and they don't score a goal.
Oh, so let's...
So what would happen in that case?
Okay, I think what your question is this. He accepts a pass while he is offside in the attacking zone. He then passes the puck to another of his teammates who then, say, takes it behind the net, loses control of the puck to a defending player who now carries it out of the zone. No delayed offside because the puck has changed possession.
Okay.
And the defending player carries it out of his defending zone into either the neutral zone. There's no offside called because you've lost possession. You're not attacking the net at that point. So it's almost like no harm, no foul.
Well, and I'm assuming then if the only reason the coach called it is because
they
got the goal. I mean, if they had missed
the
goal, and, you know, that would have been a kind of a so what.
Oh, yeah. If, let's say that after the offside, the pass is made to P.K. Subban, and Subban fires a puck, and either Murray or Fleury, I forget who the Pittsburgh goalie was, catches the puck. Now the question is, where's the faceoff? Is the faceoff in one of the circles to the left or right of the goaltend, the Pittsburgh goaltender?
And you know what, Bill?
Or is it outside the blue line on one of those little dots?
I have a feeling only true hockey fans would care on that one.
Oh, it's very important in the Stanley Cup playoffs because here's why. It's not just true hockey fans. If your team's in the Stanley Cup playoffs, you're battling for every edge. If you're Pittsburgh, you want the faceoff outside your zone. You want the faceoff in center ice. If you're Nashville, you want the faceoff in the faceoff circle to the left or right of the goalie, because what you want to do is you want to get the puck back to one of the defensemen or to one of the guys who's usually on your power play unit, because you want them to rip a blistering laser-like bullet of a shot right at the goalie. If you get control of the puck and get it back and smack it right in there, you've got a very good chance of scoring through all the traffic that there's going to be in front of these goaltenders.
Well, I think what you're also saying, though, is you have a sense it had a real psychological impact on Nashville, Nashville players, that the fact that that goal was called back really, you know, in some way deflated them to some extent.
Oh, it's got to take the juice right out of them, because remember, this is the first time Nashville has been to a final, and the guys on the Pens have been to at least four or five finals, a good two-thirds of them. Pittsburgh's an excellent hockey team. They had some trouble 2 years ago. They pulled it together. They had kind of a slow start this year. the Pens are playing great hockey, and I think they're going to win this series. And to me,
is that the first game last night?
No, that was game one. I forget when game two is. They may have already had it. I unfortunately have been so busy that I haven't had time to indulge myself. But Pat,
well, they wouldn't play during the day, though.
Only if it's a Saturday or a Sunday.
Right.
And I can tell you that they're Pittsburgh won the first two games.
They won the 29th, and they
won 5-3 in the game I described. And they played yesterday, 2 days ago, on the 31st, and they won 4-1. So Saturday night they're in Nashville at 8 p.m., and then on June 5th, which I think is Monday, they're back in Nashville at 8 o'clock at night. So all of the games, if necessary, will be played at 8 p.m., although they have played Stanley Cup playoff games on Sunday afternoons. But remember...
So what do they play? The first two in Pittsburgh, and then they play two more?
Right, because Pittsburgh had a better record than Nashville.
Okay, so the first, the better record...
Exactly.
And they actually play, you know, in... You know, it's not like the Super Bowl, where they play somewhere other than a stadium where the team is...
That's right.
In fact, what would happen,
They never play a Stanley Cup playoff on neutral ice.
What would happen? In fact, I wondered about that when they played. They obviously would not move the Super Bowl. So what would they do if, for example, when they were scheduled to play in the Meadowlands, what if the Giants had been in the Super Bowl that year? They would have played at Giants Stadium, right?
Right.
I mean, they would never move at that late date. They would
move a Super Bowl. You're talking about the Super Bowl, not the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No, let's go back to football for a minute. Because in hockey, they never play in a neutral place.
No.
And the Stanley Cup is comparable to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Okay, so the Super Bowl, although it's only one game, is they always try to have it in a neutral place. But what would have happened... It would have been played if the Giants had played the Super Bowl when it was in the Meadowlands. They would still have played in the Meadowlands.
I think so, because aren't Super Bowl cities awarded like 3 or 4 years?
Right, and they'd have to be, because people make, you know, reservations and plans. It's unlike hockey in the sense of, you know, you're going to play in whatever cities the teams that are in the Stanley Cup are.
Well, remember something else. We play hockey in two different countries, and you have a real drop-off in interest once your team is no longer either having a shot at the playoffs or is no longer in the playoffs. So if you're, let's say, an Ottawa Senators fan, and you love your Senators, and the Senators get in the playoffs, and now they have to play at a neutral site, you feel cheated. The last time they tried that in hockey was in the 20s, and the Board of Governors voted it down except for one vote, and that one vote was the Rangers, because the people who owned the Rangers back then in the 20s wanted the original six playoffs to be in Madison Square Garden, because in the 20s, the Rangers were not a very good draw. They weren't all that good a team. And you only played six games.
So what you're saying, I guess, is that unlike the Super Bowl, if the Stanley Cup was played in a neutral place, well, I guess it also doesn't make sense, because the Stanley Cup, from the stance that they play so many games, Super Bowl.
It's best out of seven.
Yeah.
In Super Bowl, you only get one bite of the apple.
Well, it's more like the playoff games. And, of course, you play the playoff games in, the stadiums where the teams are.
And remember, if you're battling all year for position in the standings and to get playoff position, because your record's better than the team you're playing, you want to have that extra game in front of your fans. I think the home ice advantage is huge in hockey.
Oh, I think
just
the
like
home.
Just like it is in football.
I think it is in football. I think I'm sure it must be in baseball also.
You can't tell me that Green Bay is a little more juiced in Green Bay.
Oh,
let's say
absolutely.
They are in Chicago or Detroit.
Well, they're pretty juiced in Chicago, but
playing at home in Green Bay.
It's nothing like home.
I can tell you that the Giants always seem to play better in front of a home crowd. They just seem
I think every team does.
Yeah.
Well, at least they try harder. If they're not doing as well, they're really, you know, they're really trying harder.
If you have a team that's really struggling.
I mean, I think, frankly.
Even then, yeah, the home crowd gets up. That's just a shot in the arm.
I think that was one of the reasons, and I always go back to this, but I think that's one of the reasons that Brett Favre threw that interception in the playoff game against the Giants that year. I mean, he was home. It was, you know, overtime, and frankly, he was trying too hard, and we all know what a gunslinger he was. But, you know, who knows if they had been playing in the Meadowlands, you know, maybe the Packers would have won because he wouldn't have been, you know, quite as foolish.
Hard to know.
And, of course, back then, I'm right. Right back then, all they needed in overtime was a field goal.
That's right.
Yeah, that changed pretty recently.
I don't know exactly how those rules work. Maybe for my benefit and those of us in the audience, you can explain those.
Well, it was at that point in overtime, the first team that scored won. And now, if the first team, if they score a touchdown, they win. But a field goal, they, you know, you don't even... I don't even know if they try to make field goals now because a field goal will not win a game in overtime. Now, and then each team gets, you know, I think it's 15 minutes. So if neither team scores at that point, then they go into a second overtime. But the old rule where, you know, all they had to do was make a field goal, usually it meant that the whoever got the favorable coin toss won the game because it was not always, but almost always, they had too much of an advantage just if you won the coin toss. But some people thought that both teams got a chance, but not if the first team just goes down and scores.
Now, I think if you're in a playoff game and it's overtime and you kick that field goal, now you're up by three. Do you trust your defense? I like the idea of kicking the field goal, even though you're giving the ball back to the other side. Now, they've got to go, depending on how good your kick is, how good anywhere from the 20 to the 40, they've got to go somewhere between 60 and 80 yards to get a touchdown. And I've seen exchanges of field goals in playoff games.
Yeah, but then they're going into a second. I don't know. I mean, the strategy of trying to kick that field goal, you know, what if you missed? That's another thing.
If you miss, as somebody would say in Wisconsin, it's just hard cheese.
Well, I mean, but just think about it. If somebody, I think they'd be very conservative, depending where they're playing. It's very cold. I mean, if you're playing a playoff game in Green Bay, it's probably very cold. And I'm not so sure that the coaches would, in fact, risk missing a field goal.
So why do you want to risk losing the ball on downs in cold weather?
Well, because, you know, then you can kick and at least get them. I mean, you might be on the 40-yard line. Do you want to give the ball back on the 40-yard line?
No, certainly not. But
if you miss a field goal, but that's where you are.
But look, if you've got the ball on the other team's 35-yard line, your kicker's kicking that ball from about the 40 or the 42.
Right.
And it's still got to go 42 yards plus another 20 yards get between the uprights. If you really have a great kicker, he's going to kick you a 60 62 to 65-yard ball. Good luck. I hope in that kind of weather you can do it because, you know,
I don't think a lot of coaches would take the chance because you can't win the game anyway, even if you do it.
Right.
You're giving it back to the other team.
So you're going to punt and hope for a coffin corner kick down at the two.
Yeah.
You're going to try to bounce it at the two, hope for no return, and you can trap him inside the
five. Exactly. And
well,
they
understand that. But if you trust your kicker and you're at the 30, that's the hard point.
But
that's
so
what makes
what?
This game interesting.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And
what if you're on the 30, and let's say you're on the frozen tundra of Green Bay, and you trust your kicker, and you're the Packers, and you go for that field goal because you're tied with one of your competitors in a, let's say, for the conference championship. Are you going to kick that field goal to break the tie, or are you going to punt? And you're going to have a howitzer of a punt and have it land like at the two. Because otherwise, you're getting the ball at the 20 and all you gained is 10 yards.
Right. Well, that's interesting.
That's why football fascinates me. You've got to reason these things through.
And you're right. You have to know the weather, the team. By the way, we found out that our tickets this year, as you know, we always get one or two games and we go out. I'm not at all happy. It's a Tampa Bay game on December 3rd. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll change our tickets and go out a different time. That's never a great time for me. And it could be a nice day. It could be a very cold day in Green Bay. You don't know. But that was not the game I was hoping to get. So,
well, you know.
And I don't like the Packers' schedule this year. I think it's a crummy schedule.
Well,
and talking about schedules, though, let us talk to some of
our sponsors,
and then we'll be back in a minute.
Right.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Come join us for the 4th Annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 to 4 at the County Fairgrounds, South County Park in Ringo's. There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be games, fun for the whole family, pony rides and a petting zoo, reptile shows by Michael Schwedick, outdoor games and activities, a shred event sponsored by the Hunterdon County Clerk from 11 to 3, tethered balloon rides by Unity Bank. The 4th Annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, we're back, the sports guys, and guess who? What, Mike, what number is that?
That looks like
this
number.
Is Mike
number
two.
Number two.
Okay.
We've got John Manfredo with us, and good afternoon, John. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Bill and Pat. I'm delighted to see you. You look terrific. I have to ask you how your experience was with the venerable Paul Phillips this week.
Well,
do you realize you had your surgery 1 year to the day that Dr. Phillips operated on me?
Wow.
1 year to the day. It dawned on me the other day. So anyway, how are you feeling?
I'm doing great. We'll talk about the family medical
later. Okay, there you go. We're running out of time. And what I wanted to do was, and Pat knows what I'm doing here because I've been carrying this around. Bill, I want to present you with not one, but two Flyer cups that were, you were probably with me when I got them at the, one Wells Fargo Center, I don't know what it was, but I've saved them for a long time, and I was recently finally cleaning out my office a little bit, and I started to actually discard a few things. There's an oxymoron, cleaning my office, and I said, I got to save these for Bill. And Pat, the reason it is so appropriate is because the NHL draft is coming up 2 or 3 weeks from today. Unfortunately, I will be out of the country. The good news is I'll be in Vancouver, British Columbia, and I'm sure they'll be watching the NHL draft.
But
you see, the Devils and Flyers pick one and two. And Bill, this is the springboard for you and I to go back to where we were. And for everybody who doesn't know this, you know, Bill and I spent 20 years battling with great teams, great hockey, from the Meadowlands to the Prudential Center to the Wells Fargo Center. And we figured out that's right, the Spectrum. And we figured out about a year or two ago, it was the first year that both of us were shut out of the playoffs with the Flyers and the Devils. So they've got the top two picks. And, Bill, I firmly believe there's supposedly two stud players in the draft. And guess what? You and I pick one and two. So how about that?
Well, that's exciting, John. And, you know, thank you for these. And I have to remind you that sitting in my car, I have a belated birthday gift for you, an original issue Chicago Blackhawks puck.
Oh, my God. Pat, I knew Pat was going to jump in there, but that would so adorn my collection.
Oh, because I know you don't have a Blackhawks
puck. No, half of my pucks came from Bill. Half
you
my
and I both collect pucks.
Yes, yes.
And I think between John and I, we must have 200 pucks.
Probably close to that, yeah. Probably.
You know, the puck that I enjoy the most is, there's two of them.
No, I'm sure there's two. I know why there's two. Go ahead.
The Cleveland Barons puck. Now, the Cleveland Barons or an NHL team that went into bankruptcy and simply dissolved.
Because they paid Jerry Cheevers too much money. He jumped from the Boston Bruins to the Barons in, what, 1971?
Right.
And along with the Philadelphia Blazers, and who was their star player?
Derek Sanderson.
So he had two Bruins leading the charge in the WHA, and both teams went. Well, actually, the Philadelphia Blazers, I think.
They became the Cherry Hill Knights after.
Yeah, they actually stayed a hockey team. But, Pat, yeah, we go way back, as you can see.
Now, I will tell you a Philadelphia Blazers story. I am a college freshman working for the Temple News because I was here at the 100 and Central. I was on their newspaper, The Lamp, and I wrote a little sports.
No Lamp.
Some of the other stuff. Remember The Lamp? Your daughter went to Central.
I think I heard about that.
So,
yep.
So I'm sitting there one day, and the sports editor says, "You like hockey, right?" Because I was wearing my Flyers T-shirt. I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Here are two tickets and a press pass. The first game of the Blazers is tomorrow night, and we want you to go and report on the game. And here's who you have to call." So I call this guy up who sounds like he's from deep in the heart of South Philadelphia. And he says to me in his best South Philadelphia accent, which I'm not going to do on the air, "Come on down, kid." So,
Pat, I'm sure as this story goes on, there's going to be a hot lady involved here. So go ahead, Bill. We want to get to the meat of it. Got to be a hot date here.
That was the case. There is no female interest in this story at all. I get down there and I show my press pass. Next thing I know, I'm sitting in the locker room and I'm introduced to Derek Sanderson.
No kidding.
Who had been a Bruin, and he looks at me and says, "Who are you?"
Sounds like something. I actually met Derek and Bobby Orr when they're in 1970 in Boston.
Bobby Orr was
the epitome.
He was one of the top three players
of all time.
Yep, he really was. That was back when I was watching hockey. On the other hand, since you can't get me something like that, I'm still waiting for a souvenir from the Beloit Fairies.
The Beloit what?
The Beloit Fairies.
The Beloit Fairies, Pat. That sounds like a Disney fantasy team or something.
Well, when football started, we had the Packers, the Bears, the Beloit Fairies.
The Fairies.
And
I thought you said fairies.
Fairies,
as in,
I did.
Oh, I thought you then meant fairies, like boats.
Well, I don't know if they
fairies.
I don't
a
know
football
if they
team
meant
named
fairies,
the fairies,
like fairy boats, or
okay,
because Beloit really is not on the water. So actually, that's I've always thought it was fairies, like Disneyland.
Okay,
but
Tinkerbell.
Yeah, they did not make it. Put it that way.
Yeah. But the Packers did make it, how many championships later?
Only because of George Halas. George Halas saved the Packers.
And tell me that story real quick once again, because
I
can never remember that.
I don't really remember the details, but I know that...
Obviously, George Halas of the Bears.
The George
and
Halas
he wanted competition.
Bears, and he, you know, they were struggling. I mean, those early teams really struggled.
And when we just to date this for our audience in the 30s, 40s?
I think it was probably, I'm not sure.
Maybe even the it couldn't have been the 50s because they were well established by then, even though they were losing franchise.
And, you know, as I said, Dave grew up in just outside of Green Bay. All of those guys played. They worked full time in the summer, maybe not during football season.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were. The early guys all lived around there. You know, and it was nothing like
and lived and worked in the community, I
lived
guess.
And worked in the community. And, of course, then when the Packers later on, it was like every other team would threaten any player. If they weren't any good, they would send them to Green Bay. That changed.
So George Halas, what was the main thing he did, Pat, to help Green Bay?
I'm not sure if he helped raise the funds. Did something.
Helped keep them floating?
He helped them keep kept them floating. And, of course, back then the salaries were just almost nothing.
Yeah.
But I'll have to go back and remember that because I'm not remembering exactly.
Okay,
what
well, we'll
did,
save that
know,
for next time.
I do know.
Unless Bill knows, the story was about how George Halas kept the Green Bay Packers going, and I suspect it was because the Bears were the monsters of the Midway and the Packers had no money. And probably were looking for bankruptcy counsel, Bill.
Well, you know, the Packers were named after a packing plant.
Meat packing plant. Absolutely.
They were the ones that supported
yep.
the Packers and gave many of them jobs. And
had it not worked out, Bill, what would the Packers have been called? Not the receivers, but to them, a receiver would have been not someone who catches a football, but they would have been the
debtors in possession.